Blog Talk Radio.
I said, friend, let me get that for you, as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat as I heard him ask we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty, put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. He said, son, for God and country, I lost my legs on Omaha Beach. But that's nothing compared to what thousands lost if we continue being free. Once again he said, well, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They're stomping and burning our stars and stripes, not giving a damn for the sacrifice of life that protects that very right. Yet they say it's just the way that they protest. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be no America left. America lives. America.
For more gross, stupid, and morally deficient funny stuff. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson, and I'm here with my co-host, Chris Bikerson, for a short period of time. Well, Chris will join us tonight. How the hell are you doing tonight, Chris?
Well, you know, I've managed to stay vertical, which is a good thing. Now, I don't know if I ever told you this, Jared. Did I ever tell you that I'm actually a superhero?
No. I didn't know you were a superhero.
I am a superhero, and my name is Dammit Man. And my special power is I can make the four winds blow. And I got to tell you, I've been on the road for the last 3 weeks, and I've literally gone all four directions. I've gone down to the southeast and over to the southwest and back up to the Midwest and back, excuse me, back south again. And no matter what direction I'm going, literally for the last 3 weeks, I've been dealing with 30 to 55 mile an hour headwinds. blowing exactly my direction, because wherever I go, the four winds blow directly towards me. So you can blame me for all this wind. So you just blame it on old Dammit Man.
All right, Dammit Man. Then I'm going to rename you too, Asshole, because I've been dealing with this crap too, driving down the roads for the last week. Yeah, I'm about tired of the wind. The wind could stop at any time. It's like somebody turned on a fan and they broke off the setting for high. It's kind of big pain in the ass, actually.
Going down the road, now just to give you an idea right now, I've got a I'm loaded right now, but I'm at home. But I got a trailer sitting down the road, and I'm going to deliver it Monday because, well, the port's closed on Good Friday. But I'm 14'6 tall, and I'm 10 foot wide. And if you haven't had the luxury of driving straight into a 55-mile-an-hour headwind when you're that wide and tall, man, it plummets your fuel economy, literally. I'm down to about 3.5 miles per gallon. And, of course, you know, with the current prices that apparently, you know, Putin is charging us, because I hear the gas prices and fuel prices are all his thing, you know, that's not hitting my pocketbook real well. So it's been something else. But, I mean, it was so windy today. Tomorrow I got to go out and I got to pick up my propane grill because it's blown literally. It's come apart and it's blown all over the backyard. And my poor dog got literally knocked all the way over onto his side when he walked out in the backyard today. So, yeah, this wind has been something else. But I haven't lost any shingles, so there's that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the wind is horrid. And if you're out there in a big truck, just be careful. All it takes is that one gust, and that's all she wrote. Well, I tell you what, we've got a hell of a show lined up for you tonight, too. We have First Sergeant, Mark, the First Sergeant off of TikTok, is going to be joining us. He's a retired First Sergeant from the Marine Corps. I'm very interested in having a conversation with him about today's state of affairs and where do we go from here and how do we make this country better and what can we do to be better. That's going to be good. Next Thursday, I've already confirmed that I will have on Jessica from Peoria, Illinois, who went to her children's school board meeting and literally just sat down and security grabbed her and roughed her up, sprained her wrist, and the police won't do nothing about it. She was literally assaulted. This is the kind of thing that is happening all over the country at school board meetings. At school board meetings, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a huge supporter of the police, a huge supporter of our military and ex-military, and I'm a huge supporter of patriots that stand up for their rights and for the Constitution and for what is right, basically. And to have this guy who supposedly is an ex-police officer act the way he did, there's probably a reason he's an ex-police officer, because he was one of the bad ones. And when I say I support our police, I support the ones, the men and women in blue that are out there doing the right thing, not the ones that are being corrupt. And that guy, what he did to her was unacceptable. And I really truly hope she gets a lawyer and sues the shit out of him and wins, because that's a douchebag move. But, so that's what's going to happen next week. But this week, yes, we're going to have First Sergeant on here in a few minutes. And, I'm home right now. Usually I'm out on the road, but I got called. I got summons to be on jury duty, right? And I called last week, and they said right before I was leaving out, I had all my loads for the week already scheduled. And I checked to see if I got called on Saturday, and they're like, yep, I got called. So I had to call my dispatch and say, hey, I got to give my two of my loads back. You guys are going to have to run me out and back because I have to appear for jury duty. Well, I called this morning at 7 a.m. I was supposed to report at 8. I called at 7, and they said, that's been canceled. Oh, how convenient for you folks. That's what's bullshit about our system. I'm an over-the-road truck driver. I own and operate my own truck. And you just, I literally had to turn away $7,500 in revenue because you guys, or I shouldn't say you guys, a criminal thought he was going to bring his case to trial. But since settled out of court. So now that's my problem. I don't like participating in things like that, that somebody did or did not do something wrong and decide to have a trial to decide whether they're guilty or innocent. But I have to suffer the consequences for it financially in the long run. That really pissed me off, and it does not sit well with me. So I've been a little bit agitated all day long because now here I sit making no money since I got home Tuesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no money. And my truck doesn't make money on its own. I have to be driving it. So I'm not very happy about that. What say you, Chris?
Man, you know what? Things are just kind of going to hell all around us. And I'm disappointed in a lot of the people that are going along with this and are going along with this authoritarian, you know, Gestapo-like attitude towards anyone dissenting, you know, like that school board situation talking about in Peoria. And, man, I don't know what the solution is right now. But man, it's really scary times we're living in. We're experiencing something that I never thought we would see here in America, where not only are the freedoms being removed, but people are being propagandized, you know, to go along with it and to literally hate and wish death upon anyone that wants to preserve freedom. And I don't understand that. And I'll be interested to hear what the first sergeant, you know, I'd like to hear his input on things and what he thinks. But yeah, I mean, that's about it. I mean, just the times we're in right now, just, man, I can't believe we're here. So it's like a nightmare.
Yeah, no, that's, I think about that all the time. What bothers me, just like you said, what bothers me the most is the willingness of people just go along with it. And the other ones just say, just comply. And it's like, man, you guys don't know history at all, like zero. That's the same goddamn thing that they said in World War II Nazi Germany. Just comply. Just comply. It'll be all over. Yeah, it'll be all over, all right, when you're getting put on a boxcar hauled to a death camp. And by the way, they do have camps set up. They're fully operational. They're ready to go. They're up. They call them green zones. It's right on the CDC's website. And this is all part of the World Economic Forum's plan. With Klaus Schwab, the founder of it, and I've said this a million times, and people still, they chuckle and say, "Oh my God, you're crazy! Get your tinfoil hat off." Well, I actually watched a documentary the other night with Stu Peters, and he had Dr. Brian Artis on, and we're going to get into that a little bit later, but right now, I want to bring on Mark, the first sergeant. From TikTok. Again, he's a retired Marine first sergeant, and we honor our service members here on the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show because without them, we wouldn't enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. So with that, I am willing to bring Mark on the air with us. And Mark, you are on the air with us, sir. Thank you. First of all, thank you for joining us. And how are you this fine evening?
Doing really great. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Okay. I'm doing outstanding. How about you?
I'm good. It's good to hear you on here. And I watched a lot of, you know, I've watched a lot of your videos in my old account on TikTok before I got banned, and I found you again on this one, and I'm like, now I do a radio show, and I'm like, hey, I got to get that guy on the radio show because, like I just said prior to the introduction, that we do like to honor our service members, but we also like to get the truth out there of, you know, people's service. Like, what did you do in the Marine Corps? How many years did you serve? And, you know, what have you all been involved with in your time of service?
Okay, I did 24 years. I came in at 75. I actually was in boot camp when the USS Mayaguez was. Those that have been around as long as I have will remember that. That was post-Vietnam, but the Cambodians took the USS Mayaguez. Anyways, I was in boot camp when that happened. I retired in 99. I was actually a drill instructor for 4 years, both a junior, senior, chief drill instructor. I filled a lot of company gunny billets, a lot of first sergeant billets. So pretty much been all over the place. I was in the first Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Tried to come back in after 9/11 because I'd only been retired 2 years. And when I called up, I talked to one of the sergeant majors at headquarters of Marine Corps. I said, Sergeant Major, you got to get me back in. He goes, you know, unfortunately, first sergeants are what we need. We need PFCs, Lance Corporals, and Corporals, the younger guys.
Yeah.
So, I ended up not going back. Wish I could have, but they didn't need it at that time. So
you have that burning desire inside you to serve your great country, and that I do appreciate. You know, I had a neighbor across the street growing up. His name was Trent, and he was in the Marine Corps. I do believe he made it all the way up to drill sergeant, and he was in the first Desert Storm also. And I tell you what, you guys, you know, I was thinking about something today, waiting for you to come on, and I was like, you know, we see all these, because I see one of your comments that you made on one of my posts earlier, and we see all these guys and men and women on TikTok and social media, and they're all talking 1776, and yet I have never seen one of them stand side by side with me at a state capitol when we're protesting or standing up for our rights, but yet they want to talk like, you know, they're ready to arm themselves and invade our own government. And
well,
you made a really great point.
I've been to a lot of protests. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you made a great point that, you know, you think that you're going to waltz in there and you're going to arm up against your government, and you're going to take over your government. That's what destroys countries, and you don't want to see that happen. And I happen to agree with you. We have to do things in a manner where we peacefully, you know, what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm adamant about it. Because last year, I'll be honest with you, my first TikTok got up to 190,000. Not that that matters, and I don't call them followers. We're together. Anyways, I was up to 190. Second one got up to 140, I think, 150. But last year, you know, everybody was talking about, let's secede from the Union. Let's join Texas and start a new country. Let's start a revolution. Let's start a civil war. And I just calmly sat back and said, you guys are, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You just flat out don't know what you're talking about. Because anybody, yes, all of us were frustrated from 2020, okay? Everybody was that gives a shit about the country. I think I did a pretty good job of at least those who were around me calming people down, because a quote-unquote civil war or revolution would destroy this country for good. And I'll tell you why. Would the right win? Probably, without a doubt. Got a lot more guns and a lot more experience. There's no doubt in my mind about that, my friend. The problem is, what do you think China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea are going to do while we're over here killing ourselves? They're not just going to sit by. They're going to take over the rest of the world, put us in such a position that the country is destroyed. And people need to stop and realize that. That is not the way to fix this. The only – and I know a lot of people, you know, people get mad at me for saying it. You know, you've seen some of my posts and everything and my videos. Truth, use common sense and truth, and you're going to be fine. And the only way we're fixing this is by a massive, massive output of voting in November. And everybody says, well, we're getting our butts kicked. No, we're not. Can I tell you a couple times we're winning? You mind me doing that?
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, we have governors like DeSantis and Abbott that are fighting back. They're taking this guy to court, and they're winning. We're winning a lot. So anybody, you know, we have some great people on the right with conservative, but all they do all day long is talk about what's freaking wrong, and they don't talk about how to fix it. I'm telling you how to – I'm actually going to do a podcast myself next Monday. I'm going to start doing a podcast three times a week. Focusing – pardon?
Oh, I said, oh, nice.
Anyways,
I would,
start,
by the way,
start a podcast,
Mark, we have
focusing on stuff like this.
Okay, we have like a 1 second delay in here, so it sometimes it becomes awkward between the guest and the host of the communication. But if you're talking and you weren't done and I accidentally jump in on you, just keep talking and that's my cue to shut up.
vice versa, by the way.
Yeah, it's because
we're
both,
this is important to this stuff. No, none of us is any more important.
No, exactly.
The answer
and
is not,
you know,
I could tell you what.
Go ahead, Mark.
I could tell you three things that again, the war is not the answer. And I hate to call them wannabes, but I look at them like they're wannabes. Anybody that's been there knows that all you're going to do is destroy this country. Well, you shouldn't destroy it now. Well, yeah, you know what? You'll destroy it for good. My way, the way I'm talking about doing it, at least we get it back and we can rebuild it. We do it your way, there's no country left.
Let me ask you a question about the 2020 election since you brought that up. And you talked about get out and vote. It's very important that we vote in mass numbers. Do you think, and I'm just going to straight out ask you, do you think that that 2020 election was stolen?
I'll tell you what I think. I think there was enough discrepancies. It was stolen because they didn't look into it, okay? Do I know if there was enough votes? I mean, I've seen all the stuff from Linwood and all these other folks pointing out all this stuff, and that's fine. But nobody ever looked into it. So just because it was never looked into means it was stolen. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. I feel the left did a very huge disservice to America by not easing those concerns by just saying, okay, if you really think it was stolen or people were cheated, let's just look into it and we'll set the record straight once and for all. See, there was nothing wrong, but they didn't do that. And as a matter of fact, the state of Wisconsin had some big problems, and they're actually still going through that process right now of the decertifying the election. However, people think, wow, you just go in and just stop it. It's not that easy. It's not that simple. You've got to go through a legislative process. And to get that legislative process all the way to the top is near to impossible. I've seen the discrepancies. I've seen the geo-tracking that they had down in Atlanta, Georgia, where they had multiple people at multiple drop sites visit those drop sites over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And that doesn't prove cheating, but it does raise red flags to me. And I think that happened all over the country because I do believe it's allowed like you or me, we can bring in somebody else's ballot and drop it off for them. So it's not like it doesn't happen because it does, because there's people that don't have cars or what have you to get to these drop boxes. So it doesn't prove anything, but it sure does bring up red flags. What are your thoughts on that, Mark?
Well, like I said, the reason I'll say it's, and I flat out say it, it was stolen because they didn't look into it. What I would have done if I'd have been Joe Biden, November, election's over, there's all these discrepancies coming up. He should have immediately called Congress again and said, look, it's important that we move forward and I be able to, and this is before we knew what he was. Well, we all knew, but you know what I mean. It's important that we make sure that half the country, because this half the country don't feel like it was stolen. So we'll still carry on, but there's going to be an investigation into all of these discrepancies. Because the hard left will tell you that, President Trump lost 70 times in the court. Not one of those was evidence ever presented. Every one of them was because of standing or something else. It had nothing to do with evidence. Not one of those cases brought evidence forward. Not one. So here's my bottom line on the 2020 election. You know what? I think last year I tried to calm some people down and tell them, look, okay, it is what it is. And, you know, God bless them. I love the guys that think Trump's coming back every other day. You know, especially last year, it was almost ad nauseum. You know, Trump's the real president. He signed it. You know, he's not. We wouldn't be going through this if he was. Okay, that's just – and I'm sorry if I make some people mad. Again, my friend, I talk about truth and common sense. Common sense says if Trump was the president, we wouldn't be going through this. Okay? He's not coming back this way. All right? We'll see down the road. They're still looking at stuff. Who knows what might happen? I don't – here's my problem is that the more we focus – keep our focus on 2020 and we lose focus on what's important, and that's getting – and I'm going to tell you, 2022 is key. We're already beating him in the courts. Our governors are kicking his ass. The Congress is getting on him a lot. He barely – he hasn't passed anything because guys – we're putting pressure on people like Joe Manchin, Kyrsten Sinema, and others – because tell him, look, if you vote for his package, you're gone. You're going to be gone. And when you look at 2022, we need to get back to Senate, get back to House. And here's what's even more important. And I don't hear Hannity or anybody talking about this. And I'm actually going to put this on my podcast on Monday because I want to talk about – I did a thing last year called The Plan. Sorry about that. I did this thing last year called The Plan on how we were going to get through this. And everything I put down, of course, I lost it because of TikTok, but it basically said, focus on November of this, focus on that there was elections last year. Remember how Virginia turned red and New Jersey barely won and all, you know, there was things across the country just terrified progressives because we kicked their ass at the polls November of last year, 2021. There was off-year elections. And I said, focus on them, send messages. There was like up in Seattle. You remember Seattle, right? And all that problems they had. Manager or somebody up there has been a liberal Democrat for 30 years and it's flipped Republican in last year. New Jersey governor barely won. I'm not trying to bore people. I'm giving people reason to understand and hope. Okay. New Jersey, Biden won that by like 18 points. That governor barely won. I'm still not sure. There was some discrepancies there. Turned Virginia red, okay? So anyways, going back to the plan, all that stuff happened. Everything I said we need to do. Stay focused, and now I call it phase two. That's this year. Keep hitting them in the courts. Like we have attorney generals suing them all over the place, Abbott sending illegal aliens up to frickin' D.C., which is outstanding. Look what DeSantis is doing in Florida. Red states across the board have passed – reasonable and effective voting. I don't care. I'm in California. I don't care what California does. And let them do. Matter of fact, we're all in California. You're going to love this. All of our ballots are mail-in from now on. Now, you can bring it in and vote in person, but your ballots are all mail-in. You get a mail-in ballot whether you want it or not.
Yeah, that's... I think, you know, if there is cheating going on, I think that's the way they're doing it. And it seems like they're doing it. They're using these lockdowns as an excuse to do it. Now, I don't know that for a fact. That's just my opinion, you know.
Well, it's a fact. It's a fact. They're going to try it. I just did a video the other day about how I said a year ago they would come up with a new variant in June that they were going to call deadly, and it was going to force the country to go back to mail-in ballots. And this time, like last time, see, Trump should have fought that last June of 2020. He should have fought that and said, no, we're not doing mail-in ballot. He should have fought it. I think he felt he was so far ahead he didn't have a problem. But anyways, he didn't, and that's history. So I'm a Marine. I look at the objectives in front of me, not the ones that I've already defeated or moved on from. So that's over.
Right.
I mean, people keep dwelling on it, and all it does is take energy away from what we need to do. So
do you think that – go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, do you think that Trump, when he was trying to defund the United States Postal Service, do you think that was part of the reason that he was trying to do that, because he knew what they were trying to do?
I think so. But I think what he should have done immediately when Pelosi came up and said, because of COVID, well, by that time we've been through COVID a year, right? A little over a year, in June of 2020. Yeah. No, it's been 6 months. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's been 6 months. The minute Pelosi and Democrats started yelling mail-in ballots, he should have put his election, his not the government, but his election staff in the courts suing to say, no, we're not doing this. That's ridiculous. He should have fought that.
Yeah.
But I think because his rallies were so big, I mean, let's face it, I love President Trump, but he has an ego sometimes. And I think he thought he was so far ahead it wasn't even going to be close that he wasn't worried about it. And if they would have fought that in the summer before all these mail-in ballots were put in place, we'd have a President Trump right now.
Yeah, what confuses me is everybody comes out and says President Joe Biden has received the most votes in history for one president. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the hell does a guy like Joe Biden get the most votes ever when the guy can't even complete a sentence? And he's been in politics for 49 years.
Times he ran, I can't remember what years. I think he ran against Clinton in 92. I can't remember exactly. He ran twice before. Both times he got 1% of the Democratic Party. Kamala Harris,
yeah, exactly.
Our VP, Kamala Harris dropped out before the voting even started. She was polling so low. So, I get these all the time when I make a post. Somebody will come on and say, yeah, well, 81 million voters. And I just immediately go on, yeah, 81 million votes is not 81 million voters.
Yeah, no, I still have a hard time believing that. Yeah, have you watched that? I'm sure you've seen this going around on TikTok. Have you watched Stu Peters' Rumble on Rumble with Dr. Brian Artis it was that documentary that they had with Dr. Brian Artis involving COVID and what COVID actually is. Have you had a chance to watch that?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't, and I get involved a little bit with the CDC and the COVID stuff. To me, it's a distraction. I'm not minimizing it, but I haven't watched it, no. I am so focused on just political end of it, because you know what? You can go back and forth with that, and you know what? I don't care how – and I haven't seen it. I will watch it, so maybe next time we get together I can talk about it a little bit. To be honest with you, I'm not saying I'm blind or anything. There is so much information out there from both sides that it's distracting for me. I want to focus on getting the House and the Senate back, on everybody getting out there and still, you know what, people will sit there and say, we do a lot of rallies. We hit the overpasses a lot. We've been going to Congressman Levin's office to protest him. He's the congressman in our district. We do a lot of those. I have a lot of rallies. I got pictures of it and everything else. I was the one that called for national rallies, right after the election to show that we weren't happy. Those make a difference. And anybody that tells you that if you're sitting at home, number one, it makes a difference in three ways. Number one, you feel like you're doing something. You get out there and you feel like you're a voice. Okay. So that helps you. Number two, I can't tell you how many I've had. It will be out on the bridge, and the sheriff will go driving by, and he'll fire up his siren. You know, they'll see, no mandates, no masks. He'll fire up his siren. Fire trucks go by, and they fire up their sirens. So you're also firing up other people to let them know they're not alone. And most of all, look what happened with the mask mandates. Because of the truckers and us hitting overpasses and big rallies in big cities, They went away magically, and it had nothing to do with science. It had to do with the American people said, enough of this bullshit. You need to stop it, and I believe in them. Some people don't. That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't argue
exactly
with people. You know? So anyway,
I don't know if you knew
I will
this.
See it.
I don't know if you knew this, Mark, but I was one of the original organizers of the People's Convoy. And I had to back out because of there's a lot of stuff that happened in the background that a lot of people don't know about. And honestly, I don't think people need to know about everything that happened in the background, but because it was such a mess. But the fact of the matter is Brian Brazzi and Mike Landis and the rest of those guys that are involved, they got through it and they made it happen. And my hat's off to them because they're doing a fantastic job. But I did end up joining them just east of Indianapolis in my personal vehicle. And I got to witness the people on the overpasses standing out in the fields in the middle of nowhere, rest areas everywhere with their American flags and their don't tread on me flags or whatever, you know, the FJB flags, whatever they had, whatever they believed in. It brought the American people out, and they flew their flags, and for a very long time, the American people that participated in the showing of the support or participating in the convoy, they felt that unification, that American nostalgia of we are united as one. And it makes me tingle just talking about it because it was so awesome to see. And then being down on the ground in Hagerstown, Maryland, when you had, I don't know how many thousands of people were down there, and all those trucks and all those people and everybody smiling. And I can't even tell you how great it felt to be an American at that point, those points of time, being a part of that.
You want to get a tingle down your back? I'm going to tell you, this is a true story. Talking about these rallies, because when you guys started your trucks and everything else, we were out there every Saturday with our flags, and we, you know, rooting on, because to me, the best thing to do is hit whatever overpass you can. Not everybody can get to a big city, so just hit an overpass. If you're the only one there, it's a victory. So anyways, I posted from one weekend, and I get a post, actually a direct message from a guy. He says, hey, First Sergeant, I'm retired. Got wounded in Iraq, and I just can't leave my house. I'm disabled. I'm there with you in spirit. And I told the guy, I said, hey, he was a Marine. He said, hey, Marine, you know, First Sergeant. Hey, Marine, grab your flag, wheel your chair out in your front yard, and wave it. He did. One man.
Yeah, and that's all you have to do. And I think people would be surprised by the reaction that you get from people, most people anyway. You get honks to the horn, the waves, and, you know, the thumbs up and God bless. But there is that small faction out there that get offended when they see the American flag being waved, which I still don't get. I still don't understand. I don't think I'll ever understand that. But I've gotten a middle finger for flying my flags, and it's disheartening. But don't focus on the negative. Focus on the positive.
You know what? We get those too. I would say out of when we do our weekends, we don't do them every weekend, like every third weekend or second, or whenever the truckers were doing something. You know what I always yell at those guys? So is that the number of friends you have, or is that your IQ?
I'll go with the latter. It's probably their IQ because, why would you put down people that are standing up, not for just their freedom, but for your freedom too? Like, you're literally telling them to go F off because you're offended for what? I don't understand it. It baffles me.
Well,
honestly, I don't get it.
I'll tell you what, I did a video on this because I felt so strongly about it, is that that the left will tell you, and this is the best explanation I've seen so far. We don't like we hate the American flag now because Donald Trump and conservatives and Republicans stole it and turned it into a Trump flag. And on that video, I specifically state that's a bunch of bullshit. You taught an entire generation how to take a knee during the national anthem. You are the ones burning it and stomping it before Trump showed up. So don't give me that. Don't use that as an excuse. That's a bunch of crap. You're the ones that are destroying our history. You're the ones that are jumping on people because they wear a red hat, sometimes children, physically and verbally. don't give me this that we stole a flag, because you're the one that stopped showing it at your convention in 2012. This was going on way before Trump got here. That's their excuse. They will tell you, oh, you stole it. We didn't steal anything. Okay? We didn't steal anything. We just responded to an assault on this country and its heritage. By the way, when I say heritage, and I'm dead set on this, when I say heritage, I mean everybody. I'm talking white, black, Hispanic, Native American, Asian, gay, trans, it doesn't matter to me. It's our heritage. All that history is ours, all right? And you're not taking that away. And you're not going to rewrite it. You're like the American Taliban. You're destroying everything that was in place before you came here, because they're like little children. They really are.
Well, they believe in the propaganda coming out of the media. And I've spoke about this numerous times. And if people would go look up the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act that was implemented under Obama, they would understand that literally everything you see on the news is propaganda, literally like 99.9% of it. It's all propaganda.
I agree.
I was one of those guys that hated Trump when Trump was in, because I, not too long ago, believed in the same propaganda that they did. I hated Trump with a passion. But then I had an awakening. I had a group of me and a group of guys, truckers, all went down to Washington, D.C., and stationed on Constitution Avenue for 3 straight weeks in 2020. And in that time period, Trump sent us out 2 different times. He sent us out gifts. And I thought to myself, when has a sitting president sent protesters gifts? And it made my wheels start spinning. I started looking at things a little bit differently. And then I realized, holy shit, I've been being lied to my whole life. It blew my mind. And I started looking at his speeches, and I started looking at the things he said in the context he said them in, and I realized, oh, my God, that's not what NBC said or ABC or whoever. I said, that's not true, simply not true. That's not how he said it. But they did their cut up with their sound bites, and they turned him into be a monster. And it's just – I'm sorry, but it's just not true. It still baffles me, but I'm happy that I woke up finally and see that, you know.
I don't think there's any of us that support Trump that don't get frustrated by some things he says sometimes. I didn't vote for him in 2016. I'll freaking fight for him right now, okay? He says some things. You know, I think the best example I've heard of that, one of his aides said, look, Donald Trump, rest of us get a thought, and we let it process, and we let it come out. As soon as Donald Trump thinks something, he says it. And that's fine. But like you said,
yeah,
most of the stuff that gets reported in the press is not accurate. I'd like to spend a minute on this thing about him being a racist. It's going to be one of my podcasts next week. It's absolutely ridiculous. If Donald Trump was a racist, why did he nominate the first African-American female to Brigadier General of the Marine Corps? If Donald Trump was racist, why did he pass the Savannah Act, which immediately there, I don't know if you know or not, but there's been a lot of Native American women have come up missing, right, over the years. He immediately signed that act. It was named after one of the young gals that was kidnapped and found murdered. The Native American community came to him and said, we need help. He passed that act. He signed it. Not Joe Biden. And he immediately put $500 million into searching for those that are missing. If Donald Trump is a racist, why did – there's polls out there, but there's actually a very valid poll. Said 18% of black men and 12% of black women voted for Donald Trump in 2020. Why would they vote for a racist like that? That's ridiculous. There's 14 right. counties in Texas that are border counties with Mexico. Most of them are – almost all of them are largely Hispanic because they're right there on the border. Donald Trump took – he wasn't close. He took 7 out of 14 border counties in the border counties in the state of Texas in 2020. You don't hear this stuff on the news because it doesn't meet their narrative. I mean, it just – it's just –
exactly.
And by the way, and let's go to the misogynist thing. If he's a misogynist, go back to his first year in office. The four most powerful positions in his cabinet, Secretary of Defense, Secretary, UN Secretary, Secretary of State. I can't remember what it was. Anyways, 3 out of 4 of the most powerful positions in his cabinet were women. That's a real misogynist. It's just, they don't make sense.
Exactly.
They don't tell you, you know, they don't let you know about these things.
No, the media doesn't, because they're, well, they're being funded by the George Soroses and the WEF. And, you know, I've researched all this quite extensively. People are like, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Well, no, I'm not, because it's they put it right out in front of you. They tell you exactly what their plans are and what they're doing and how they're doing it. You're just naive and you don't want to believe it, because it's so frightening. It's so sick. I'm one of those that I do believe every word that comes out of their mouth, and they are sick people. I don't like them.
And they're not even hiding
no,
it.
No, exactly.
Biden used the words New World Order the other day. You don't even hide it.
Yeah. Yeah, when he said that, I was just like, holy shit, man. They're not even, like you just said, they're not even hiding it anymore. They're telling you exactly what they're doing. Listen to them. We need to stand together, and we have to go about this unified. We can't be fighting over, he's getting more attention than I should. He got media attention. Who gives a shit? Who cares about the media? I don't care about the media. I've been involved with numerous things in the last 5 years that have garnered media attention. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, they twist and turn your words to fit their narrative anyway. So why the hell do you worry about it if you're going to get on ABC or NBC or Fox? Or it doesn't matter. They're just going to twist and turn it. But
well,
you know, I kind of wanted.
The thing
to,
is about all
I kind of wanted to get, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say. One thing I say about that, I put stuff out all the time, and I don't care if somebody takes it and runs with it. I don't care if you see one of my videos and you push it. Like I just called for a huge boycott of Disney. I don't care. I don't care who gets credit for that. Just do it. Just friggin' share the word and do
right.
it. You know?
Yeah, at the end of the day, guys like you, guys like me, we just want our America back. The America we grew up where the only thing we were worried about is who was bringing the hamburgers or the hot dogs to the grill out on Friday night with our friends and our neighbors. That's the America we want back. And
well,
we're also the same guys that are pushing to get that back.
A realization we all need to just accept is that 20-30% of this country right now has been snowed and taken in by the progressive way. Well, that's 90 million people, okay? There's a good chunk of us that have been that haven't voted. I've always voted. I've never missed a vote. I voted one time in Korea, not the Korean War. But there's a lot of us that have sat around. There's still 80 million people that didn't vote last time. And I understand that they think there's no difference between the parties. There's a stark difference today. I could agree with that 10 years ago. Today, there is a stark difference between the parties. And it right now, it's kind of like we fought with the Soviet Union during World War II to beat Germany. Right now, the 70% of us that don't want this crazy crap that's going on, we need to unite. We'll worry about policies and everything else as we go along. We need to unite and just make 2022 and 2024 such a decisive defeat for progressives. I'm not going to say Democrats. My dad was a lifelong Democrat. He would not vote for these people. We need to make it such a decisive defeat in 2022 and 2024 that they're never heard from again.
Exactly. But you know what? That's funny you say that, because my dad was a Democrat. I grew up a Democrat. And when Trump came along, my dad was pro-Trump all the way. It caused a rift in our relationship for a brief period of time before I woke up. But now I realize, what the hell did my dad see that he was so pro-Trump? And he got it from all sides of our family, because we grew up Democrats. And he got it from all sides. And I don't know how the hell he went through that without just blowing up. But now I look back like, what did he see? What did he see? And now I see what he's seen. It's like, holy shit. Don't ever question your old man. I hope he's not listening,
yeah.
Because he's gonna rub this one into me for a long time.
Well, when I was about 21, this is right after Reagan won. and I was home on leave, and we're sitting in the living room, my dad and I. This is like 81, 82, something like that. And we're sitting there having a Budweiser, I think. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what my dad's politics was when I was growing up. It wasn't discussed much. All of a sudden, he stops. He takes a drink. He goes, "Son, you mind if I ask you a question?" "Sure, Dad. What's up?" He goes, "How in the hell did you become a freaking Republican?" I said, "I don't know, Dad. Life." I just laughed. And you know what? We never argued about it. We just never talked about it. I'll be honest, I got two daughters that are probably pretty much in the Democratic, fold, and that's their business. I didn't raise them to be Marx. I raised them to be independent women, and they're going to do what they want to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it.
For those of you that are listening, and you want to call in and you want to join the conversation and maybe ask the first sergeant a question or two, number one, if you do get on, be respectful. If you get on and you're rude and you're disrespectful, I'm just going to remove you from the phone call. And you can call that censorship if you want, but this is my platform. If you have something to say that and you want to be rude and disrespectful, get your own platform. But that guest call-in number is 516-387-1733. That's 516-387-1733. And make sure you press the number 1. That lets me know on my switchboard that you want to, get on air with us. And we'll put you on air. I promise you that. And you're allowed to say whatever you want, too. Even if it goes against what me and the first sergeant have been talking about, that's called freedom. That's okay, as long as you are respectful about it. But once you become disrespectful, that's not okay. So those are the rules that we play by here on this radio show. And by the way, I want to give a shout-out to Unplugged Radio for giving us this platform to speak freely about any subject that we so choose without any backlash or anything like that. As a matter of fact, we do have a caller, Mark, number one. But second, before we get to that caller, I want to bring something up to the audience. We became, Unplugged Radio Network, became one of the featured blog talk radio shows on blogtalkradio.com because of this show. And because of that, we added on another radio show on Monday nights called Patriots United Radio Show, and that is being hosted by our friends Chad from Canada, Chad Collins, and Michael Lanford from Texas, the Texas Patriot. Those two have their own radio show called The Patriots United at 7 p.m. Central on Unplugged Radio Network on Monday nights. So not that it was awesome enough that we got us on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Now we have another one on Monday night with two different hosts and basically the same format. They take guests and call-ins, and we talk about being, the United States and American patriots. It's going to be awesome. I'm happy to see them added to the Unplugged Radio Network. But let's go to this caller and see what they have to say, if you don't mind, First Sergeant.
Not at all. I don't care if they agree or disagree. I just want them to voice their opinion.
Right on. 6606. You are on the air. Who do we have tonight?
Somebody with plenty of opinions, Jeremy. This is Joe. I've called into your show before.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Hey,
how about you guys?
Hey.
Doing great.
We're good.
Yeah. I was hearing you talk about Trump, and the problem was the people who didn't like Trump, they never liked what he they never disliked what he did because they didn't know what he did. They always didn't like what he said, and as a result, he wasn't presidential enough. So they continued that throughout the 4 years of his particular administration. But if you really took a look at the policies of what Trump had done, he actually fulfilled a great deal of the campaign promises that he had made. The unemployment rate, lowest ever for blacks, women, Hispanics. We were energy independent for the first time since I can remember. He didn't start a war. I didn't vote for Trump because I thought that I didn't want a guy with that kind of ego to have his finger on the red button. But when the time came along, when he could have followed the advice of the neocons and, really inflamed some conflicts or started a new war someplace else. He didn't do it. So I was impressed with that. So Trump was a very good president. I called in to let you know that I had talked to another, I don't know if it's affiliated with you, but another segment of the Truckers Freedom Movement. I think the name of their organization is Big Rig. And there's a guy named AJ who's been affiliated with that for a long time, and he knows Spooner. I think you had Spooner on last week. So I just want to let you know that, if we block talk radio, word is getting around. But they're also talking about how the trucker movement, there's so many disparate opinions and organizations and semi-organizations and fractions. It's pretty hard to actually get together to do something in a unified way other than in one location at a time. So I wanted to find out how, if there's any progress being made on that front, if there's coordination between Canada and the United States more, because those poor Canadian truckers, they're getting the cops over there, and they're not cops, they're mercenaries. Trudeau hired mercenaries to replace the cops, to beat them, to put them in prison, to knock their teeth out. So I wanted to find out if there's any updates.
Well, here's what I'll tell you on that. If you are a person or persons, a group of people that are standing around waiting to hear what direction you should go in, don't do that. If you think that you've got even yourself, like Mark said earlier, First Sergeant said this earlier, go out in your yard if you have to and hold an American flag. But what I'm going to tell you is, like, I'll give you an example. January 28th, I seen what was going on up in Canada in Ottawa, and something moved me, and I have to go up to the border nearest me to a border crossing and show my support. So I put it out. At that time, I was still on Facebook. I've since been permanently banned, but I put it out on Facebook that I'm going to meet in Fargo, North Dakota, at the Petro fuel station. If you want to join us, meet us there at this time. And we're going to roll up to Pembina, North Dakota, in a slow roll fashion, just to show our support for our Canadian families. And it started with me, and I ended up calling my friend Tony. Tony came, and my friend Will, and a couple other guys joined us, and we had four trucks total. We rolled into the Petro in Fargo, North Dakota, and there was a group of, I would say, roughly 100 people. Children, families standing there with their American flags in support just off of one Facebook post. And when we left Fargo, we had 19 total vehicles. We stopped just north, right between Fargo and Pembina at a truck stop there, because there was another group there waiting for us that wanted to join. Well, when we got there, it wasn't just a small group, it was a pretty large group. By the time it was larger than our group. By the time we got to Pembina, North Dakota, we had over 40 vehicles involved, numerous trucks, cars, what have you. 75 to 100 people ended up being involved. We didn't do anything drastic. We didn't do anything crazy. It was basically we had signs on our vehicles, American flag, the Canadian flag, and mandates, stuff like that. We got up there, and I talked to a lot of those folks up there, and I have their interviews on my YouTube channel. But some of those people hadn't seen their families for over 2 years because of these mandates. And showed me what one person can do. Just say, hey, I want to show my support. Then all you got to do is make a plan, and it's pretty simple. This is where I'm going to start. This is where I'm going to finish. I want to show my support. I want to bring awareness. Whatever it is, put that plan out there. And if people agree with you, they'll follow you. I promise you. You don't have to be the disrespected trucker. You can be Joe Blow from the street. Just put that out there, or reach out to people that you know have more of a reach than you do, and help. They can help market it for you, put it out there for you to get you support. And that's all it takes, is for one person to come up with an idea and figure out a way to get that message out there so you can make it happen. And it's happened all over the country in different spots. And right now, I just seen on our chat, Amanda and Diane are from New York State. By the way, I want to give them a shout-out because Amanda and Diane have they're married. They have children. They're spectacular people. They followed me and supported me from the very beginning, and they are very supportive, and I appreciate everything that they say and do. They're very involved. She just told me that they're leaving Henrietta, New York, headed towards Albany to rally. And she said, please join us. So if you're in the New York State area, they're headed to Albany, New York to rally against the Emergency Powers Act and everything else going on in the country. So, you know, I've been called a conspiracy theorist. I've been called a racist. I've been called a sexist. And I've been called everything that Trump's been called. And as a matter of fact, Amanda and Diane can vouch for me. They're a lesbian couple that are married. And I don't like putting it out there like that because it doesn't matter. They love each other. Their kids are very well.
No, it just doesn't matter.
No. And their kids are very well behaved. I mean, they're good people. And when people call me a racist or a misogynist or this or that, they have no idea who's involved in my life and who I talk to and who are my friends and who I support and any of that. So it's important for people to not buy into that rhetoric that comes from the left, from the propaganda brainwashing that they've received. You have to understand that they are brainwashed. They have been, what's the word I'm looking for is they're programmed basically.
Programmed
by this leftist media. Yeah. So Mark, what did you want to add to that? Like, you know, as far as organizing and doing something for what you believe in, like you have on overpasses.
Well, you know, I see these big rallies in Australia and Canada and stuff. That's hard to do in this country to get the big rallies like that. Number one, we're pretty far spread out. Okay. So what I think you just hit the nail on the head. If you, I have rallies every 2 weeks, and I have, you know, first time it was 5, now it's up to 30 or 40 on the overpasses, and we're waving flags, no masks, no vaccinations. By the way, I took the first 2 shots because of my situation. My wife's older, and that was my choice, and nobody should jump on anybody one way or the other. But I'm a strong believer in supporting those that decided not to. So what you need to do is just get on whatever your favorite platform is. I've heard, what's that, Telegram. That seems to me like that's a real good way to get the word out to people, is the app called Telegram. Because they put flyers out. And just, you know, if you get a group of 100 people, that's, again, you're affecting yourself, the people that see it, and the country. Because when they see so many of those, that's why we won. That's why they shut the mask down. We won, even in blue states. So just like you said, just put it out there and go for it. It doesn't have to be 100,000 people, okay? That's nice. You can do that in France and in Australia. By the way, I would stay away from D.C. no matter what. I know that you guys, I know a lot of truckers went to D.C. because all they're looking for another excuse for a January 6th. I told everybody,
yes,
you know, just don't go to blue cities. Stay out of blue cities because they will make something up. I guarantee you.
Yeah, the only thing I would say to that, like, so I'm from Minnesota, and I know St. Paul. Like, I've been involved in a couple different events in St. Paul. The first one was back in 2000, and I believe 17 or 18. But we got the proper permits that we applied for through the Capitol to have trucks staged and parked for the day right on the Capitol, right at the front steps of the Capitol. I would highly suggest that you go through the proper permitting to have your event, because then they know what your intentions are. Everything is set in stone. To go there and just hold a rally without any permits, which I'm going to say this, I'm going to put it out there, and I know I'm going to catch backlash on it, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's your constitutional right to stand up and execute your First Amendment rights of freedom of speech. However, you have to be respectful of other people's First Amendment right. That's called freedom, too.
Exactly.
They have a right also. So If you do something without the proper permits, and you have a lot of people, be prepared for backlash. They're not going to let you do the things that you normally would be able to do if you had the proper permits. Like when we had the proper permits, we could walk right into the Capitol and we talked to numerous people, a couple congressmen, and it was good. That's what it's all about, is getting the word out. But I also went to a rally up there to support our healthcare workers. They had the proper permits also. Then they had speakers, they had a podium set up, and at that time they had fencing all the way around the Capitol, which I still don't understand why the hell they have fencing around that Capitol. Maybe because they think or they know that what they're doing is not right, and they were scared of, you know, people just saying, I'm done with this shit and we're going to take it over. I don't know what their thinking is, but we certainly did not go up there with those intentions.
I do have a strong recommendation for anybody listening or whoever you can get this word out to. I've put this on TikTok and Facebook a number of times. If you're going to have a rally, I don't care if it's in D.C., go for it. But, if, you know, like you said, get the permits, do it right. I mean, we're not freaking Antifa. But what I'm telling everybody is, if you have these organizations, especially if they're going to be big, assign security, put guys out there with their phones on record, so when Antifa shows up and starts disrupting things, you can prove that they are the ones that started it. That way your guys don't get arrested.
Exactly.
Every time we have one, I have two or three guys with cameras ready to go. If somebody shows up, we're going to be filming it from the minute they show up. And that way you got proof, and you're not going to have this January 6th crap going on.
And that happened when I was up at that medical rally with those the healthcare workers. I met that was my old account on TikTok, and I met numerous people that followed me on TikTok. And I had to leave about an hour in. I had other priorities I had to get to. But anyway, at the end of that, one of the leaders called me and said, you ain't going to believe what just happened. I said, what? There was a few of us left at the end, and we were ready to walk back to our cars, and Antifa showed up banging on a drum and standing in a line and in all the exits and wouldn't let us leave. But thank God the Proud Boys were there, and they walked us back to our cars. And the media has painted the Proud Boys as a terrorist organization. I have seen a lot of things that the Proud Boys have done, and I'm going to be the first one to tell you that you're being lied to. They have done nothing but stand up and be patriots to this country. Sometimes has a few of them gone a little bit extreme to what you would call normal? I would say yeah, but to me it's like, no, they just love their country. But that's not for me to say whether it was right or wrong. I'm just going to say, if it would have been for those Proud Boys, those Antifa members would have done some bad things to those gals, and they happen to all be women. So if you want to call them terrorists, go ahead and call them terrorists, but I'm going to call them heroes because they stood up and stood up for those healthcare workers, made sure that they were able to exit that rally peacefully. Without any confrontation from people that have warped ideology. So, Joe, did you have anything that you wanted to add to the conversation with First Sergeant?
Actually, I did want to respond to Joe real quick if I could.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one thing Joe said that is absolutely accurate, that Donald Trump had the best policies of anybody probably since Ronald Reagan. The problem with Donald Trump is, If he's got to learn, he lost some veterans when he attacked General Mattis. Don't get involved with this. I'm just saying he's got to. Who am I to tell the president, right? I'll tell you who I am. An American citizen that's concerned about our country. He's got to tone down his personal attacks. Slam him hard on policy. Stop. I'll give you an example. That General Mattis thing. Remember that he wrote a book, and he. By the way, General Mattis slammed Obama more than he did Trump. Okay, press never reported that. But, you know, General Mattis said some things about Donald Trump that he didn't like. What Donald Trump, President Trump, should have done, he was still president at the time. First time he was asked it, he should have gone in front of a press conference. Well, what did you think about what General Mattis said? This is what I would have preferred he say. He thinks he's got to respond to everything, and I think that cost him the election. Whether it was right, you know, fair or not, it cost him the election. He should have just simply said, I appreciate General Mattis's service to this country. I appreciate him as Secretary of Defense. I wish him the best of luck with his book, and I hope he has a good life. And walked away and left it alone. I'm telling you, he lost some veteran votes because of the way he went after General Mad Dog Mattis.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I don't think you are. You're right, because I've talked to numerous people that said they didn't vote for Trump because of his rhetoric, because of his temperament with the media, and you know, the way how he delivered it and how he said it. People's feelings, they get sensitive. Looking at it now, he had every right to say the things he did to the people that he said them to because of how they treated him.
Let's get real. Let's get real about this. People voted for Trump because of his particular rhetoric and because of his obnoxious personality. When they had the very first debate, what was it, about 50 million people tuned in because of Trump. Ordinarily, it's a snooze. He got elected because he was a fighter. He solidified his base because he's a fighter. Now, a lot of people have said,
fighter without personally attacking people. I will disagree with you, Joe. I think he has just as many people that were upset with the way he attacked some people.
A lot of people.
I wanted to hit the left hard.
A lot of people would, but he also solidified the base. And plus, if you're not on the president's side, you got to go. And if the general should keep his mouth shut about the president until he's out of service. And the president has every right to do that.
He was out of service. He was out of service. He had retired.
That's fine. But at the same time, Trump is a person who has the right to strike back at anybody who strikes at him first. I don't blame him for
that. In that case, it was stupid. General Mattis is revered. I don't care what he said. General Mattis is loved by many people. Okay, and what I said, I'm not saying in every case does he need to back down. It made no sense in what he did, and that hurt him with veterans.
I'm a veteran, and it didn't hurt me. Okay,
you're one.
Mattis
out of to me
was somebody.
Million, Joe.
Mattis
Give
to me was. I can't hear you.
I said you're one out of 26. There are enough veterans that were up. I have friends that are veterans. That they would not have they may not have voted for Joe Biden, but they didn't vote for Trump because of the way he attacked General Mattis. Did General Mattis come after him first? Yes.
Yeah. Well, then they're very close-minded because Trump has revived the Veterans Administration and given veterans more benefits and made them feel more respected than since Reagan. So those kind of veterans are going to say, "Well, I don't like Trump because of what he did to this particular general." To me, they're closed-minded. You got to take a look at what Trump has been doing for everybody. They're closed-minded, tunnel vision. So he criticized one of their own.
I guess closed-minded because I didn't like it. I voted for him, but I didn't like it at all. I was pissed about it, as a matter of fact.
That doesn't make
you closed-minded, Joe. That means that's not how you treat somebody like a General Mattis. It doesn't make any sense. It made him doing that.
Sure it is. Of course it is.
Let me just jump in here, gentlemen, if you don't mind for one second.
Okay.
I want to jump in and just say something here, okay?
Okay.
Hey, we're having a nice hockey match
for a while.
it's okay. A heated discussion. You guys kept it civil, which I appreciate. Because I don't want to say, all right, guys, I got to mute one. Because I don't ever want to mute anybody. Everybody's voice is just as important as the next. But what I wanted to say is, Joe, you said something that caught me. You said, I'm a veteran and it didn't affect me. That is part of what our problem. And I'm not criticizing for your thought. What I'm going to say is that's part of what our problem is in this country is people think, well, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't bother me. So, therefore, there's not a problem. When in fact, just because something doesn't affect you negatively or offend you or any of that doesn't mean that a problem doesn't necessarily exist. It just means that you weren't offended by it, and that's okay. It's good that you weren't offended by it. That's okay. That means you have your own individuality. But there are people out there that look at that, and it puts a sour taste in their mouth. I think what First Sergeant is saying here is General Mattis is a very highly respected general throughout both the Democrat and Republican parties. And when you have a president of the United States of America, because a general isn't necessarily agreeing with everything he's saying and maybe criticizing him a little bit, going back and criticizing somebody that is so highly respected and has actually served this great country of ours, unlike President Trump, who never served this country until he was president of the United States, that really bothered some of these longtime veterans, just like First Sergeant, and not taking away from your service either, Joe. But that I just wanted to clear that up and clarify that the thinking on that. But I'm not saying that you're both right or you're both wrong.
Yeah, I know. The logic you're using for me could also be applied for the First Sergeant. Just because it offends people doesn't mean that it's also also right. Or because they're offended, that therefore the person who's offending them is doing something wrong. Now, I don't know anything about General Mattis. If he criticized Trump in a respectful way in his book on his policies, then fine. And if Trump decided to criticize him as a result of that in a disrespectful way, then Trump was wrong. But if General Mattis, out of service, started criticizing him on a personal level, then Trump has every right as an American citizen and as a president. And even though he's a megalomaniac, he's had this history of striking back at people who strike at him first. If Mattis had kept his mouth shut, Trump wouldn't have said a thing. Now, I don't know what Mattis said, but again, there are a lot of people who are, you know, who have served our country. Everybody has the right to criticize another person if it's done in the right way. Now, I don't know what Trump said, but if you're talking about does he have the right to do it, sure. Did he do it in a disrespectful way? It all depends upon what Mattis said and in what context. I can take a look into it to find out for sure. But you're right about, let's say, just because something didn't bother me doesn't mean it's not bothersome. At the same time, just because something bothered other people doesn't mean that it was worthy of being bothered or being bothersome. So, you know, all people have to take a look at their particular perspectives and see, you know, see what the balance is.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
The bottom line is, right? If something's right or wrong is the eye of whoever's making the decision. Something, what Trump did is not right or wrong. And it's only related to what I feel or another veteran or other people. And did he have the right to do it? Sure. It just wasn't the smartest thing he did. That's all.
Yeah,
well, you've also said he lost the election as a result of that. That's not why he lost the election. The election was stolen. He could have had every veteran voting for him. He still would have lost the election.
Your opinion, Joe, and it happens to be my opinion too. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm not going to say you're right either. There's plenty of proof out there that show that's exactly what happened. But we don't have
precisely justification. And let's not forget, recently they've been suing certain counties because they've been finding irregularities in the votes just recently, 2 years later. So
yeah,
I know that.
By the way, before we go on here, guys, I got to say something. When I told you about Henrietta, New York, headed towards Albany to rally, that rally is not until the 23rd. She just commented on our live chat that's the 23rd, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're listening from the New York State area, Henrietta, New York, headed toward Albany to rally. And I believe Albany is up toward the border there. So, and then the next thing I want to say is if you are listening and you want to get involved in the conversation that we're all having, you're welcome to call in and we'll put you on live as long as you're respectful. You might get a little heated, like, you know, Joe and Mark, you know, they're passionate about what they believe in and you're allowed to do that. But you know, you notice one thing between those two, they kept it respectful.
We apparently like a good hockey match.
Right. But if you guys want to call in and you want to join that conversation, the phone number is 516 877-387-1733. And when you get through, make sure that you press that number 1, because otherwise I just think that you're calling in to listen to the show. The number 1, when you press that number 1, after you call the number 516-387-1733 and press the number 1, it gives a little hand, like a hand raise, like you're in first grade and you want to ask the teacher a question. It pops up on my switchboard and it says, oh, hey, there's a little white hand that wants, hey, I want to talk. I got something to say. I'll bring you on air, I promise you. And I won't limit how long you're on here. If the conversation is flowing, we'll keep you on. That's what it's all about. So, and before we get back to our conversation, I have to throw in another thank you, a huge thank you to Unplugged Radio for graciously giving us this platform right here tonight, every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central, to talk uncensored to whoever we want to talk about or to and about. Uncensored. It's a beautiful thing. And that, to me, is a perfect example of First Amendment rights. You can say whatever you want, even if it offends other people, as long as you're doing it respectfully. You have a right to feel the way you feel, and Joe has a right to feel the way he feels, and First Sergeant has a right to feel the way he feels. As long as we can have a conversation like adults and disagree or agree to disagree or however it goes down, but we don't have to sit here and call each other names. And that,
well,
gentlemen,
just
I appreciate.
So you know,
so,
just so you know, I agree with Joe 99.9% of the time. We just have a little, you know, thing that we disagreed with, that's all.
Yeah, no, and I know you guys disagreed a little bit, but that's the beautiful thing about this country, is you're allowed to disagree. You don't have to agree on everything. That's your individuality. It's a beautiful thing.
That's the foundation of this country. If you can't not only disagree, but if the purpose of the First Amendment is not to have opinions that are going to be liked. The purpose of the First Amendment is so that opinions which are not liked are not squelched by the government. Now, if the private sector wants to do it, but I would have said fine until you gave too much power to big tech, because actually Google, Facebook, and Twitter and YouTube, they're all in the pockets of the government, probably funded by the government in order to have acquired this power for them to be the big tech censorship at this particular time. Otherwise,
I actually just did a video about that. If I could just get that real quick about First Amendment. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
So I did a video about that, specifically talking about, especially TikTok, because, you know, we've all been banned and stuff. The First Amendment applies to the government. I understand that. All of us understand that. The problem with TikTok and Twitter and Facebook and all these other platforms is they're private companies, but they're deciding who our government is. So now you're open season, boys. And I hope that a Republican Congress goes after them next year and puts restrictions on them. Actually, I'd like to see them along with some restrictions, because, again, they're getting involved in the political process. They're stopping us from, it's a private company. They have that right. But now they are actually getting involved in the election of our government, Facebook. And I hope they actually give us the right to file class action suits. Because if you and I both got suspended off or banned off TikTok, right?
I'm not on TikTok. I'm not on YouTube. I'm not on Facebook or any of the social media because.
I think he was talking to me. I was banned. Banned at 150,000 followers.
My point is, the reason I think they should give us the right to file civil suits is I was banned last February or so. I had 190,000. I mean, it wasn't much, but I was bringing in $200-$300 a month. I'm no Charlie. I will never swing it. They also had $300 on my account that they kept. I should have the right to get that back. They've taken that away. They've taken that ability away from me for a year and a half. And I'm a minor one. There's people out there with 2 million people that were getting banned. So we should have the ability to file class action suits in a monetary fashion, because they're taking money away from us, let alone the First Amendment.
Well, I hope that happens, because if the class action suits actually come to pass and they can actually take these big tech people to court, and as a result of FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, and as a result of discovery, can actually put into the court transcripts the documents that they will discover, you will find that Google, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, et cetera, has been funded by the government and maybe even found to find out that their intention was to deliberately censor at this particular point in time. It wasn't to get people
without a doubt
for. It was to censor for elections and censor for purposes of keeping the whatever regime that they favored in power.
Well, with a Republican Congress, I hope that gets looked at, because it's going to be a Republican Congress, by the way. We're not going to have a 2/3 majority. We won't be able to override vetoes, but it's going to be strong Republican Congress. And I hope they look.
That won't matter. Republicans are rhinos. There isn't a Republican or Democrat that I trust in Congress. All of them have proven to have no backbone. All of them. So I don't care who's elected. All you're doing is substituting one person without a backbone for another. And that goes for Jordan, for Rand Paul. Getz is beginning to stand up with some balls. And that's about it. They all bow down to their masters, and their masters are lobbyists. Doesn't matter if they're GOP or Democrat.
I disagree, but
First Sergeant made a good point earlier that we do have some America First patriots that are in office. Ron DeSantis is one of them. He sees what's going on. He's trying to put a stop to some of it. He is gaining major backlash from the left and some from the right too. I would highly suggest people, when you vote this in 2022, you do your due diligence and you find out these candidates. Number one, have they been involved with anything involving the World Economic Forum or anybody that is involved with the World Economic Forum? If they have, stay the hell away from them. I don't care if they're blue, red, green, or yellow. Stay away from them because their agenda is very clear, and they will be bought off. My personal opinion moving into the 2022 election is you vote for the people that are America First, and they have showed you they're America First by what they've done regarding voting or personal actions. That's the only way we're going to get this country back is getting the right people into office. The problem we face is there's so much special interest money being pumped into elections from the George Soros types that are not only being put into office in Congress and Senate, but we're talking federal judges, state judges, all the way down to some of your local school boards. And they're teaching that critical race theory. They're teaching the gender identification at the age of kindergarten. What the fuck? I'm sorry about my language, but what the fuck does a kindergartner need to know about gender identification? I just talked to some people about this the other night. When I was in kindergarten, I didn't give a shit about if I was a boy or a girl. I wanted to know where the next dump truck was that I could play with, or the next Lego was. All the way up until I was probably, I guess, right around the sixth grade, I started having those interesting girls, like, in that way of, wow, I'd like to kiss her, or, but it wasn't never like I want to have sex with her at sixth grade, because I didn't know what that was. But I wanted to, hold her hand or hug her or kiss her. And then seventh and eighth grade came, and then it was like, ooh, wow, what's this feeling? Then you started going through your puberty. And you realized, wow, I definitely am attracted to her in that way. That's when you start realizing who you are individually, sexually, not when you're in kindergarten.
Okay.
You don't know what you are in kindergarten.
I'm thinking, ladies and gentlemen, you just heard a timeline of Jeremy's sex life.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, no, not quite, but pretty close.
Fortunately, there were no training aids.
Well, now they do. They've got pictures in these for pre-K. Anal sex. sex.
Wow.
Come on. Who are you trying to kid? You're trying to push down this LG. I know it's not. Regardless of whether it's LGBT or heterosexual, of course not. Like he was saying, we don't give a rat's ass when we were kids about that.
No.
God, Jesus.
They don't need to know about that stuff yet. Let the kids develop mentally and emotionally without your propaganda bullshit down their throat. I mean, you're trying to force them to be something that they're not because they're very you can manipulate those
very
kids
malleable.
A lot easier when they're young. Yeah. So, again, I have really good friends that are lesbian couples that are married, that have children, that they're good people. I'm not against the LGBTQ community. What I am against is this gender identification, the way they push it, the way they say, well, you know, you have to open up the bathroom because they identify as a girl. No, they identify as a fucking predator. That's what they identify as. If you go in the bathroom and my daughter is in there, I'm going to tell you one thing right now, and I mean this wholeheartedly, and I don't mean this from a malice standpoint, but if you go into a bathroom, if you identify as a woman and you're a man, and you go in there and my daughter's in there, you go anywhere near my daughter, I will do some very bad things to you. And I don't want to because I'm a very strong believer in God and in Christianity, and I don't believe in violence. I don't like it, but I will protect my family at all costs. And when you start acting and talking like that, you're trying to normalize pedophilia, and I don't appreciate it, and I don't think it's right. What do you think about all that, Mark? You know, the pushing of this. The gender identification stuff and the critical race theory and stuff in school.
I'll tell you exactly what I'm thinking. You're going to start seeing parents running for school boards across the country. Somehow, and I applaud that couple you're talking about. Not because they're gay. They're living life. They're working hard. And matter of fact, the Republican Party needs to open up to everybody. If they care about the country, that's what counts. And the parents are going to start running for these school boards because somehow we went from you have to tolerate us. Now you have to be a part of our lifestyle. And I don't know how that happened. I don't know. You know, it's one thing to sit there and say, okay, you're an American, you have these rights and everything else. Another thing to say, I want to teach everybody about what I do too. And that's just, I don't know how we got there.
I was personally glad when homosexuals got the right to be married because then they would finally find out what it was like when heterosexuals have been married all this time.
You know,
one thing I do want to say, like you, Jared, I'm a Christian, but you know what? I've done this video before too. In the Bible, you had Moses and you had Joshua. Moses was the shepherd. He led us through prayer and taught us everything. Joshua was the general. He took care of those that were, preying on the Christian faith. I'm a Joshua. Okay. Not violent, but like you, you got to be very careful about what you do.
Amanda and Diane are on the live chat, so I have to monitor that while we're having this discussion. They happen to be the only ones on there tonight, which is more than fine. That's kind of how we communicate through the show rather than them being on live. But I like to share what they are saying with our guests or whoever we're on with. And she's agreeing with the conversation that we're having that, you know, and by the way, Amanda and Diane are LGBTQ or LGBTQ. Good. Okay, there we go. I got it. A couple from
I never
New York
get that right
that are married. Yeah, I it's a tongue twister for me, but you know, she said that you don't need to be teaching that stuff to kindergartners, and she's begging parents to wake up. You know, the best way to dumb anyone down is send them to public schools. It's government run, and she's right. I happen to agree with her. And she is, her and her wife are not the only LGBTQ couple that I know. I happen to be very close to another LGBTQ couple that are lesbian also that have three boys that are they're raising. And they do a fantastic job. And their family dynamic works well for them too. And I happen to spend a lot of time with them, especially in the summer times. And if I didn't have to work this Sunday, I would be headed over to their place for Easter. And I enjoy their company, and I enjoy their children, and I enjoy their family dynamic. People need to remember, just because two women are together or two guys are together and you don't like it, that's not for you to judge. It says so in the Bible that, I don't like to get too deep into this, but because it's very debatable, but it's not in my eyes. It says so in the Bible that a man shall not lay down with another man. It says so. I've read the scripture. However, it also says in the Bible 1,000 times, or I don't know how many times, do not judge, for you too shall be judged in the same way you judge others. So I keep my thoughts to myself on what the Bible says, because it isn't for me to judge how other people live their life. The only thing I'm going to tell you is you can live your life any way you choose. If you want to identify as a fence post, I don't care. But once you start intruding on my rights or my children's rights or their lives in a negative manner, that's when I stand up and I have a problem. I will, I will protect my family and my children at all costs. So if you have an ideology I don't agree with, that's okay. You have that right as a human being. That's your God-given right to have ideologies that I don't agree with, as long as it coincides with what the good Lord puts down in the Bible. You know, but again, if you are a man that says, you know what, I identify as a woman, and you want to use that woman's bathroom while my daughter's in there, I'm not okay with that, because I would never go into a woman's bathroom. Even if I had to go to the, I'd probably go number two in my pants before I used the woman's bathroom if I had to go that bad, because I don't want to, it's offensive. They have, it's a sense of privacy in a bathroom, because even though you're behind closed doors, you're exposing yourself out there. And who's to say some of these people aren't sexual predators that are peeking through the cracks of the door, of the stall door, or whatever? That's not okay. And that's just my opinion on it. And you guys may not agree with me on that, and that's okay if you don't, but I don't like it. It makes me very uncomfortable. Well, do you guys have thoughts on that?
The bottom line is, the bottom line is, it's what's in your heart. It's not, I don't judge people. That's not my business. But this has gotten parents. I'm telling you right now, there's going to have to be some decisions made in the future. If you're living in like California and Seattle, and well, New Jersey just passed that law. If you're not willing to take them to court, you're going to have to make a decision about whether, number one, are you going to put them in private school or are you going to move? That's what it's going to come down to. Because there are some blue states that we're not going to change no matter what. They're just, I'm talking about hardcore liberal. We're not going to change them. Or cities, you know, because a lot of this is city council stuff. You're not going to change that. And that goes for cops and firemen, EMTs, that are being treated like garbage around the country in some cities. You have to start making a decision about whether or not you're willing, your job is that important to you in Minneapolis, let's say, or they're going to defund it. And if you're willing to stay there and do that, that's your business. I'm not going to judge you if you do. But same thing with parents. If you're in a school system that is going to do this, regardless of who's president, regardless of who's the governor, if they're still going to do it, you need to start making some decisions. Are you going to homeschool? Are you going to go to a private school? Or are you going to move? Because, or are you going to stay in the system? But if you stay in the system, the best thing, you know, try and run for a city council. But there's going to have to be some decisions made.
Yeah. No, I'm actually talking about or thinking about this myself. And like I told you guys, I live in Minnesota, and we have Governor Walz. We have Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith, all three staunch Democrats. And we basically the whole state of Minnesota is red except for the Iron Range and the metropolitan area. And they dictate our elections. And I'm honestly tired of it. I love the great state of Minnesota. We have a beautiful state, but I'm tired of the politics. I'm tired of the Democrats and their policies on the restrictive measures that they place on its citizens without talking to the citizens. They don't give a shit about the citizens. I've actually thought about jumping state lines, which is only an hour from me, over to South Dakota to live under Kristi Noem, because
that would be awesome.
They didn't face this. They didn't face the same. Are you from South Dakota?
No, I'm from California.
Oh, okay.
Newsome country. I'm gonna have to go, guys. The next time I call in, I won't disrupt the program to leave. I'll just hang up. But Okay.
No, Joe.
So take care.
I always appreciate you calling in, brother. I always appreciate you, and you're welcome to call in anytime.
You're a good man, Joe. You're a good man.
Thanks
for what you believe in.
Look, you guys be safe, all right? Because we got a long, long road to go. Take care now.
Yeah, we do.
Yes, we do.
Bye bye.
Yep. Have a good night, Joe. All right, everybody, that was Joe. He's a regular caller to our show, and we sure appreciate his thoughts. And, thank you, Joe, for calling. But getting back to me jumping state, my idea is, you know, all of us that are pro-America, that really believe in America first, we're going to have to make a decision here in the near future of where are we going to go to. We have to solidify our thoughts, our beliefs with like-minded individuals and make sure that we keep those states pro-America. And my thoughts are I have to get over to South Dakota to make sure that it stays red, because I know in the metropolitan area of Sioux Falls, that has gotten disturbingly very blue all of a sudden, even though the crime rate is going through the roof. And they can't correlate why. You know, why is our... I used to live in Sioux Falls. I've lived in Sioux Falls twice. And it was always a cool community, a nice community. But as of late, it's gotten really bad, crime-wise. And it's because as soon as the blue gets a stronghold, and you'll notice this all over the country, and I'm not trying to be discriminatory. It's just a fact. The crime rates skyrocket, like through the roof. It's everywhere. But now what scares me, First Sergeant, is Texas. A lot of the liberal left in California were being pinched out because of the liberal policies in California. They moved to Texas or they moved to Arizona. But yet they turn around and they still vote the liberal agenda. They don't get it. And then pretty soon, it doesn't happen right away, but 5-10 years down the road, they flip it blue and they get the same thing that they ran from. It's
well,
like what
I don't think Texas
make it,
is.
Gonna,
I don't
sense.
Think Texas is going to flip, and I'll tell you why. You're right. There's a lot of people from California moving to Texas. They're going to Arizona, but I truly believe, Jeremy, that this performance by this president and the Progressive Party, these aren't Democrats. These are extreme progressives, have turned off
yes
so many people that at least for this election and maybe 2024. They're going to vote conservative Republican, and my wish is and my hope is in 20 especially 2022, we get to Congress and we come out and we start giving out good policies like we did. 2024 we get either a Trump, a DeSantis, or somebody like that, and they go under 4 years of economic boom, and those that maybe were on the fence stay over on our side. And then we don't ever have to worry about these progressives again. I think that's what's going to happen myself.
I hope you're right, because I've thought about this a lot. Okay, so number one, I got maybe two or three points to make. Number one, believing that the election was stolen in 2020 and that they cheated with the Dominion voting machines and the vote flips and the mail-in ballots and all that stuff. That makes me nervous, okay? Because I don't know if I'm 100% right if that really happened. Do I think I'm right? Yes, I do think I'm right, but I don't know that for 100% fact. So I'll leave that there. Number two, I watched and heard Nancy Pelosi being asked, what do you think about the 2022 midterms? And she goes, oh, we don't have nothing to worry about. I can, and she looked right in the camera when she said this, and it sent chills up my spine. We don't have nothing to worry about. I can guarantee you that not only are we not going to lose any seats, but we're probably going to gain 10 to 15. And I'm looking at her eyes and the evil in her eyes when she said that, and I thought, holy shit, they plan on doing the same thing in the midterms to make damn sure that they put the final nail in the coffin with the Democratic Party, make sure that they retain the power that they have, except this time they're going to have full control, and they are going to throw their radical policies through one after one after one after one after one after one, and we aren't going to be able to do a damn thing about it. That's what scares me.
Well,
and I don't know
election,
what your thoughts
unlike,
are about that.
Well, this election, unlike 2020, I think you're going to see Republican Party, even in states like California, they're already lining up people to be poll watchers. And you know, well, look, you're not going to win California. Who cares what California does? But a lot of red states fixed this, and they have very good, you know, it's not restrictions. They have very good voting policies in place. All right. States, matter of fact, your state, Minnesota, I want to talk about this for a minute because it's important. A lot of people think the only thing that's important is senators and Congress and the president. Let me tell you, the three most important positions we're voting for in the next 2022 is governor, secretary of state, and attorney general for each state. All three of those are the most important things we're going to be voting for. And exactly what you just said, I'll tell you why. Because I think it's 72% of all of our governors are up for election this year. A lot of people don't realize that. 72% of all governors are up for re-election. That's huge.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is
get Governor Walz.
Yeah. But that's another thing Trump did. He swing states used to be Florida, Ohio, Iowa, and maybe Arizona. They kind of I still think Arizona went Republican. But the swing states in 2016 were Florida, Ohio, and New Hampshire and Iowa. Those are all four solidly Republican now. Trump did that. Not you or I. Trump did that. He took states like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. That's why I laugh at people that say Trump's not the leader anymore. He's exactly the leader. He barely lost all four of those states. He probably didn't lose them. I'm just going by the numbers.
Right.
He turned four states, and you know better than I do. Minnesota was, like you said, it may be a red state, but the voters, unfortunately, have been going, I think, I can't remember the last time they voted red. Probably the 60s, if then.
We have
four states. No, I mean for president.
You're talking for president. Yeah. It's been a very long time. So, yeah.
But he turned four very blue states as far as voting goes, Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. He turned them into purple, and he actually made, I think, all three of them except for Minnesota went red in 2016, and then Minnesota was very close. And even in 2020, he barely lost those. So we need to get everybody needs to get out, and especially those four states, and turn those states red, just like we did Virginia. And I'll tell you why I'm not even afraid of Pelosi. My proof, you would ask? Look at Virginia. Complete freaking wipeout of Democrats across the board. And I can't tell you how many different offices across the country that flipped. And they could be small as a city manager or mayors. There was a mayor in Texas that hadn't gone Republican in 50 years, and it flipped by 15 points. Okay, so she's Baghdad Bob. Remember Baghdad Bob? Whenever the tanks were right outside where he was filming, and he says, "No, we're in complete control. Saddam Hussein has complete control of the city, and the tanks were right outside the frickin' door." That's all she's doing, trying to put on a face on it, because she knows, if we do our job, then, you know, a lot of people say, you know, first sergeant, you call for voting. You know, what's your proof it's going to work? I'll guarantee you the alternate, if we sit home and don't do anything, it definitely won't work. All right?
Yeah.
It's going to work. It's going to work.
You're exactly right. We have to get out there in mass numbers, whether we believe if the 2020 election was stolen or not. Let's get out there and prove that they're cheating by voting the way we want in 2022 in the midterms. And when there's enough people out there that are say, wait a minute, everybody I've talked to voted for this red or so-and-so, but they never voted for that candidate. Like Stacey Abrams in Georgia. There's a lot of controversy surrounding her. I think once we really prove to them, what in my opinion we already have, but we have to do it really, really hard this time and show them, no, we didn't vote for that person being there. There's something that's going on.
And I get it.
You know, we don't know what it is.
I don't beg often, but I'm begging everybody to pay attention to governor, attorney general, because guess what? The attorney generals are being put in by Soros. Those are the ones that are coming up with these stupid-ass freaking laws. A governor, your secretary of state controls your state voting, and attorney general, especially in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota. If we could turn all four of them red, that sets us up for a landslide in 2024, regardless of running.
Yeah, and we do actually have a candidate that's running for governor here in Minnesota. His name is Dr. Scott Jensen. He's all against the mandates. Now, I know a lot of people don't agree with a lot of his policies, but you have to remember something, ladies and gentlemen. You are not ever going to agree with anybody's policies 100% of the time. The thing you need to remember, are they going to be better than the policies that we're getting from the current governor or the current senator or the current congressman? And I do believe that Scott Jensen is probably one of our best chances to flip the state of Minnesota to a red governorship. Then we have to work on getting rid of Amy Klobuchar, who's been in office way too long. Tina Smith doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. You get her on camera, and she just looks like a lost puppy. We have some very good congressmen in Munson, Jeremy Munson. I've had him on the show. He's very smart. He represents southern Minnesota. I have not had on my representative in southwest Minnesota, but I have talked. I recently just talked to him on the phone, Swadzinski. He's a good dude. Mary Franson, she's a very good representative. We have really good representation in Minnesota. We just have to really work on getting the people out that are, you know, for instance, let me just say this. In 2020, shortly after we got done with our three-week-long protest on Constitution Avenue in Washington, D.C., there was an incident involving a man named George Floyd, and it caused nationwide riots, and they literally burnt a big portion of this downtown of Minneapolis down. Like burnt it down to the ground. And our governor waited and waited and waited and finally sent in the National Guard after it was too late, you know, in the name of racial injustice, which is a bunch of horseshit. Since then, there was a police officer in the Twin Cities metro area who accidentally pulled her gun rather than her taser. And shot a black man in the back. Yep. And she's currently serving, I believe, a 2-year prison sentence because she was made an example of. And that's what they're going to do to our police officers. Until you're a police officer and you are on the job and you deal with the things that you deal with as a police officer, we have zero right to throw our opinions out there as far as, well, she should have done this or she should have done that or he could have done this or he could have done that. You don't know the split-second reactions that you have to make as a police officer. You just don't know that. And the same goes for you folks in the military that are actually in like when you were in Desert Storm. You don't have time to think about somebody else's feelings. You have time to do what you were trained to do. That's the bottom line. These people that are Monday morning quarterbacks drive me absolutely nuts because they're so hypocritical. Because if it was their family member that was that the police officer or the military person was trying to protect, and they accidentally or purposely shot a somebody that was trying to go after these people, oh, then it's okay because, well, that was my mom. She deserved that. Everybody else deserves that too, not just your family. What are your thoughts on all of that, you know, that the stuff
well,
that happened in Minneapolis?
One thing that just absolutely irritates me is they're everybody talking about how they want to – they think cops need to be retrained or whatever. Let me tell you who needs to be retrained. That's the young people in this country, because I see video after video where they're questioning cops. You can't pull me over. What do you want my driver's license for? What do you – you know, we need to retrain everybody in this country that if a cop pulls you over – respond to him, answer his questions. If you have a problem with it, and you know they're not perfect. There's 800,000 of them out there, maybe 900,000. If 1% of them are bad, that's 9,000. They're not perfect. I understand that. Now, that young gal, I just feel so sad for the one gal that had to go to prison for 2 years. We need to retrain the people in this country that if a cop pulls you over, you do what he says. Floyd would be alive if he did what he was told. Okay. Half these people that are having a, you know, getting killed or whatever. First off, the numbers aren't there what they show. There's more cops killed than it's a lucky thing cops don't riot every time someone's killed. But we need the people in this country need to wake up and understand the worst thing you could do is argue with a cop, especially in this environment because they're always worried about getting shot at every the worst place for a cop to go is a traffic stop and in a domestic dispute. And both of those are where cops are getting killed. And guess what? That's where everybody's arguing. They're being taught by, various lawyers to argue every step of the way. No, I don't have to give you my driver's license. That's not constitutional. I don't have to do this. Bullshit. Just do what he tells you. Get your ticket. If you don't like something, God forbid, if a racial slur was used or something like that, report him. Get the number. His badge number's on the ticket. Go down to the local office and report.
That's what the court system is for.
Exactly. And it has to end because too many of our cops are getting killed and they're being ambushed because there's an anger out there against cops, which I'll be honest with you, it just drives me insane. Because like that subway guy or anywhere else, you know, whenever there's gunfire.
Perpetuated on you by the media.
Yeah. But whenever there's gunfire, everybody else is running away from it. The two cops that are in the neighborhood pull their pistols, and they're running towards it. And you want to shoot them, or you want them in prison? If they do something wrong, they'll be punished, all right? But the worst thing we're teaching our young kids, and it's happening all over the country, red states, blue states, it doesn't matter, is they're being taught to be disrespectful and disobey cops, and that's the worst thing we can do.
Well, the one thing you said for a sergeant was just listen to what they say. And at first I was like, well, I disagree with that. But then I'm like, wait a minute, just a second, Jeremy. He's right. I'm a strong believer in don't just comply. However, in that situation, you comply. And here's why. If you feel your civil rights were violated, you have recourse. You record it if you can, and you file a complaint, and you bring it to the courts. That's how you get your justice. Sitting on the side of a road and arguing with a corrupt cop, if he is corrupt, or because you're an asshole and you don't want to take responsibility for your own actions, there's two different things. Now, if you get pulled over, you were speeding, and you start arguing with the cop about legalities and this and that, if you feel he wronged you and violated your civil rights, you do have recourse. The time to handle it is through a complaint, not at the side of the road when it's a heightened state of help me out here, Mark. It's a volatile situation.
Cops are worried every day now. Cops are always worried every stop. Every stop.
Give them a break. You know, I mean, just take responsibility for your own actions, number one. If you got pulled over, you felt for you didn't they didn't have a reason to pull you over, okay, figure out why they pulled you over. You'll get a ticket or a citation. You sign that citation. And the signing of the citation doesn't mean that you're guilty. It means that you received the copy of the citation. That's what it is. You don't have to sit there and argue, I ain't going to sign it, I ain't guilty. You ain't admitting guilt by signing that citation. You're admitting that you received the citation. Now, your recourse now is if you feel you're wronged, you file a complaint, and you can see you have that right to file that complaint, and you can see that officer in court in front of a judge, and you can tell the judge exactly what happened, and the judge will decide whether or not you have a valid complaint. And if you don't have a valid complaint, then that probably falls back onto you that you are you're not taking responsibility for your own actions. So, honestly, I've said this for a couple of years now. A lot of our problem in this country is our inability to stand up and do the right thing. It's called integrity and taking responsibility for your own actions. When you're wrong, you're wrong. When you broke the law, you broke the law. Now, take responsibility for it, pay your fine, and move on with your day, and quit making the same mistake over and over again, rather than pointing your finger at somebody else and saying, well, they made me do it. No, you have decisions to make in life. That's called life. Now, stand up and do the right thing. You know, when a speed limit says it's 55, drive 55. If you're going 60 and they pull you over, you're breaking the law, whether you agree with it or not. Yeah, accept it. But this country is so far gone as far as integrity. Nobody has integrity anymore. It drives me absolutely nuts.
We have no leadership.
But, you know,
we have no leadership from no. Hollywood could be leaders. Hollywood could make some great movies, but they have no idea. They're just so visceral in their hatred towards everybody. We don't have any leadership from a lot of teachers. There's just no leadership out there right now. And our parents, you know, just like you were saying, take responsibility. Man, if I was in fourth grade and I did something, all right, and I did it, if my parents were called in, I was the one that did it. I'm the one that's in trouble. Nowadays, the parents show up and say, my Johnny didn't do that. There's no way. Sarah did not do that way. You know, they don't even look into it. Parents aren't even leading sometimes.
Yeah. It's gotten completely out of hand. But, you know, First Sergeant, we've had a great discussion on multiple topics tonight, and I just want to say I appreciate you joining us tonight, and I know how you stand with the appreciation of your service, but I'm going to say it anyway. I do appreciate your service, and many of us do. Thank you for that. I know you didn't do it because you're looking for accolades. You did it because you believe in this country of ours, and for that attitude alone, I appreciate you, man. But thank you so much for joining us tonight.
I appreciate it. I had a good time. You have a good show.
No, it was fun. And before we go, I want to give you the opportunity to say whatever it is that's on your mind. Of course, it's completely uncensored. However long you want to take that time. So I will give the floor to you to wrap the show up and say whatever you need to say or whatever you have on your mind, and there will be no interruptions for me. So the floor is yours, my friend.
A couple minutes or 2 or 3 minutes or how long?
You can have 15 if you want.
I don't know if I'll take that long. Anyways. First thing I want to say is I just did it, you know, I say this, but I just did a video of this. I get thanked for my service a lot, and that's fine. I've always said you're welcome. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to turn the tables on you, because today, in today's America, we are all serving, whether it be the single mother, the single father that has to get daycare to go to a school board meeting. Maybe it's the couple that you know, they're being confronted about what their lifestyle is, and they're doing a great job of raising kids, and they're being challenged by people, usually the left. You know, we're all serving, whether it be the truckers, like you said, the truckers. The truckers are out there doing their job, or the disabled guy that goes out in the front yard with an American flag. We're all serving, all right? Or the kids in schools showing up and saying, no, we're not going to wear a mask. So the, what I want to say is I thank all of them for their service, because in today's America, we're all serving, and we got a job to do. And, I, you know, I know I listen to Joe, and I appreciate Joe, by the way. Like I said, I probably agree with him 99.9% of the time. But I'm telling you right now, there is a difference between the parties. Flat out, there is a difference. All you have to do is look at the policies. You know, you got three states that are going to authorize a baby. I've born, and I'm not going to get into too much, but this needs to be said. They're going to authorize a baby to be allowed to die at 20 up to 28 days after birth. There are numerous states, blue, that are authorizing abortion all the way up until the day of birth. There is a difference between the parties. I mean, trust me, 5 years ago I would have argued with you. Well, I would have been on Joe's side. There's not a difference. I'm sorry, there's a difference. And this is the time. I've never missed a vote, but I don't say anything to anybody that doesn't vote. That's up to their, that's their choice, United States of America. You can vote, you can't vote. I'm telling you, 2022 and 2024 is critical. That 60 million people that didn't vote in 2020 have to get out, because and then we'll deal with making sure that whoever gets in office does what they're supposed to. But I guarantee you, if the progressives continue in power, this will not be a country that any of us will recognize. They're about 30% hardcore. Okay, there's 50% of us that obviously voted for Trump and Republicans. So there's another 20% in there that are kind of like, you can't tell me they're not going, hey, this isn't right. You need to get out. You need to get out and push for candidates. And you said it very good, very well, Jeremy. If you end up with a candidate you're not exactly crazy about, well, first off, push them in the primaries. The primaries are coming up. If you want to get a candidate in there, get out there and work for them. All right? Get involved in the political cycle. But if your candidate doesn't win, you've got to decide, do I want that progressive or do I want the Republican? And this is not a time for third parties. Matter of fact, if we ever get on the show again, I'll talk about that. That's a good topic. This is not a time for a conservative party. This isn't the time for a constitutional party. This is the time to buckle down and just make this defeat of progressives so profound that they're never heard of again. Or if they are, it's very minor. So I enjoy, I don't mind people, you know, we were talking earlier. Joe and I went back and forth a little bit. We had a little disagreement about something. It wasn't that major, I don't think. The bottom line is I don't agree with myself 100% of the time. I'll say something today and somebody will convince me in a week that was wrong. You know what I mean? So
That's the beautiful thing about being honest with yourself, that you
that's right.
You admit that I'm not always right. I tell people that I'm not Einstein. I don't know everything, and sometimes I get proven wrong. Very rare though, because I'm almost perfect, but not quite. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I do get proven wrong sometimes. So the things that we say on this show, I was going to try to get into the Stu Peters documentary with Dr. Brian Artis, but we had such an interesting conversation that we didn't get to it this week, and that's okay. Well, I'll get to it maybe next week or maybe the week. It doesn't matter. The point I'm trying to make is there's a lot of things that we research, you, me, and we research. The way we research is different. We're not always right. When you hear this show and you listen to the show and you hear points of view brought on by the first sergeant or by myself or by Chris or whoever's on the show, you don't have to take that word to the bank. You have a direction now. You have a topic to research. Go research it. Figure it out for yourself. Say, oh, you know what? I found this, and he wasn't exactly correct. And then call back into the show and say, hey, I found this. What you said about that subject a couple of weeks ago, this is what I found. You're not exactly correct. And you know what? I will stand like a man, and I will stand corrected. And I will say thank you.
Exactly.
And move on with our day. And guess what? Then we can get the truth out there. That's how it works.
Well, and I live on two words or three words, common sense and truth. My dad always taught me, you know, common sense, and unfortunately it's not too common nowadays, But if I hear something or on TikTok, and I'll be honest with you, it happens just as much, not just, less is worse. But I see stuff from the right that I just know this isn't right. This is not, this is no way this is right. And I look it up and it's not. So when you hear stuff, whether it be you, me, Jeremy, anywhere, Joe, anybody, always research it. Don't ever take it for granted.
Yes.
That so just because somebody was on the radio or somebody made a TikTok or somebody made a YouTube, that they're the ultimate answer. They're not. You have to do your due diligence, like you said. You got homework. Check it out.
Yeah, exactly. If you and I sat on this radio show tonight, First Sergeant, and we said to Joe when he called in, say, hey, Joe, me and First Sergeant, we decided that you got cancer. Would Joe just sit there and say, oh, shit, I got cancer? Or would he go, I think I'm going to go get a second opinion and
exactly.
You know, have somebody else look into it. That's exactly what you do with information. If me and First Sergeant are telling you that the sky is blue or the sun is red or the moon is white, doesn't matter what we tell you. Don't take our word for it. Go research it. That's the beautiful thing about what we do. We believe in the things that we say because we have done a lot of research in the things that we say. However, it doesn't mean that our research was 100% correct. That is your job to decide whether or not we were right or wrong. Not my job. But First Sergeant, again, I really want to say thank you so much for being on the show. And honestly, it was enjoyable. You're welcome to call in anytime, every week. Before we go, I want to give you an opportunity to plug your podcast that you're going to do and your social media accounts. Where do people find you so they can follow you?
The best one is that I've given up on Facebook. It's such a joke. My best one right now is TikTok, as long as I don't get banned. The podcast is on Podbean, but I haven't done any yet. I gotta get my area set up. I want it to be decent when I go, and I just started doing it because a lot of people asked me to, because they like the way I say that we can win this thing. You know, that's the thing. But anyways, so on TikTok, it's Mark, MarkTheOneST, number three, by the way. So it's Mark, the First Sergeant, number three. And I have a lot of videos on there. A lot of stuff we talked about, I've done the videos for. And when I do a podcast, I'm going to start doing a Monday Wednesdays and Fridays. And I'm going to be very topic. It's not going to be a show. It's going to be topic specific. Monday, I'm going to do the plan, phase two, on how to end this Biden stuff this year. And I'm also going to put on there why Trump is not a racist and why Republicans aren't racist. That's going to be another one. What I'll do is when
Perfect.
I do them, next time I come on, I'll have the address for the Podbean. But when I do them, I will put out a TikTok on Monday showing you exactly where they are. And I look forward to it. I think we're going to do some good things. You know, we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, no, when you get that information, when you get that all set up, why don't you send that information over to me, and I'll do a TikTok video for you to put that information out, because I do appreciate you and what you stand for. There's one thing that I didn't get to. I know I have to end this show soon, but I have to ask you this question, because I don't know if my memory serves me correctly, but did you said at one time you were vaccinated, correctly? You and your wife?
I was. Yes, we both are.
Yes. Okay.
Well,
I think in that video you said
I took the first two, and she's taking the booster.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think in that video that I watched, you said you were talking about going to an overpass and standing up for our freedoms, and you said, I am vaccinated. My wife is vaccinated. We are standing up for the medical freedom of choice. If you want to get vaccinated, go get it. If you don't, don't. Is those words that you said?
Yeah, exactly. Those
yeah,
are the exact
okay.
words.
I
don't care.
I didn't know if I was correct. I couldn't remember for sure, but I'm almost positive that I watched that video coming from you. And that's when I really caught interest in you, because you're just being brutally honest. Like, you said, hey, I'm vaccinated, my wife's vaccinated, but you know what? You have the right not to get vaccinated. And that's when I'm like, there's a guy that gets it. And I thought,
let me tell you,
I did that video.
I did that video. There was one I did that was specifically about that. I even said in there, you know, get off my back. Don't attack me for being vaccinated. That's another show. That's another video. But that thing got 900,000 views and 100,000. And nurses, Jeremy, nurses were coming on there crying because they said, we felt so alone.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of followers throughout. My advocacy, because my truck, my advocacy turned from trucking to standing up for medical freedom, and a lot of my followers have become healthcare workers, and I've backed up my words. I've went up to St. Paul, to the Capitol in Minnesota, and I've stood with them to fight with them to get rid of these mandates, and I'll do it over and over and over again because I truly and honestly believe in that, but. No, I just want to say, First Sergeant, I appreciate you coming on the show. Everything that you said tonight, the conversations we had, we only had the one caller tonight. It was a little slow night. I don't know why. That happens every once in a while. But nonetheless, it was a good conversation. People are going to, oh, my God, they're going to fight. No, they had a disagreement, but they kept it civil, like normal human beings do. Did they raise their voices a little bit, or did they disagree? Yeah, that's okay. You can do that. See,
we're veterans.
You guys,
we're
just
veterans.
Showed the world.
We tend to raise our voices.
Yeah, you guys just showed the world, though, an example of how you can have a conversation while you disagree. That's perfect.
Yeah.
But on that note,
before you
everybody,
let me go, I got to say
go
one
ahead.
Thing. Before you let me go,
yeah,
our
absolutely.
Next fight. Talking about the medical profession, I have a special place in my heart for nurses, male, female, I don't care, nurses, because they stood up. Our next, every overpass I'm doing from now on is rehire the nurses with back pay. They need to be rehired, every one of them.
Absolutely.
That's our next fight.
I can get behind that.
That's our next fight.
Absolutely.
Or the
I'll
military
that
was discharged.
I'll get behind
or
that
the
fight.
Cops or firemen. But anyway, that's our next fight, buddy.
No, I'm with you, man. And you've got my phone number now, First Sergeant. Whenever you have any information that you feel pertinent to get out there, you send it to me. And you've got a lifelong friend now. I'll do what I can do to get it out there. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, please thank First Sergeant Mark for joining us tonight. It was a great show. Service members, first responders, police, fire departments, healthcare workers, anybody that's been in teachers that have been affected by these mandates that lost their jobs because they took a stand, those are your true heroes. And we need to respect them and we need to fight for them to get their careers back because they've done nothing wrong. And we'll get to Stu Peters' documentary with Dr. Brian Artis in the very near future. I apologize we didn't get to it tonight. I advertised for that, but it didn't happen. Sometimes that happens in the business I'm in the radio show. So also next week, starting Monday, Patriots United at 7 p.m. Central Time on Unplugged Radio on blogtalkradio.com. That's where you can find Patriots United on Monday nights at 7 and the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Central. Both 7 p.m. Central. On that note, I want to say a final goodbye to our friend, First Sergeant. Thank you very much for joining. And I'm more than positive we will be talking very soon.
Keep fighting.
All right. Thank you, First Sergeant. I appreciate you. And everybody else, thanks for listening and have a great night. God bless.